Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Kim Butler for the Prosperity Podcast. And today we have with us Jimmy Vreeland. Say hi, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So glad to have you. So tell us, tell our listeners what you and I have coming out in about 2 more weeks. By the time the podcast hits the air, it'll be 1 more week.
Well, Kim, I like to call it a life insurance and real estate manifesto.
So you and I actually have done a book together, and thankfully it was done with the help of Scribe Media, which we're super grateful for. And we were able to just talk our stories away, and these guys wrote them. And so the book is called Busting the Real Estate Investing Lies. We like the verb of investing. Yes, Jimmy?
Yep.
So tell us a little more about the storyline, the involvement that you had in the book, why you wanted it, that kind of thing.
Well, like when I was learning everything in Truth Concepts from you and Todd, you know, you guys must get to every Truth Training Concepts, and everybody's first response is, why is anybody talking about this, right?
Yes.
So generally I see a void and I can't help but smash my head into it. And I was like, well, you know what? I'll talk about it. And I think that's how the book actually came about. Is I went to Truth Sharings with you guys, and I called you, and I was like, Kim, no one's talking about this. Why don't we write a book?
Yeah. And both being initiating quick starts, thank you to Kathy Colby for the Colby profile. Boy, if you haven't checked that out, colby.com, most valuable marriage tool, business tool, workmate environment, K-O-L-B as in boy, E.com. You want to spend $50 and take the Colby A. And what that tells Jimmy and I about ourselves is that we're jump in first, see how deep it is later people. And so you have a book, and inside Busting the Real Estate Investing Lies, we have a variety of stories of both our mistakes. So you have life insurance mistakes, you have real estate mistakes, you have business building mistakes, and stories about our successes. So Jimmy, give us a hint about one of the successes.
Oh, let's start with one of the failures. I think we do like half a chapter on like my first deal, just a four family in the wrong neighborhood that was just a complete bust. Because you being an educator, I think it's easier to teach from mistakes other than, you know, oh, this is what worked out so well and I'm great. You know what I mean?
I love that. Absolutely. Because we really learn from all of our failures. And I learned from failures inside the life insurance industry by, first of all, working with the wrong kind of product. Second of all, borrowing against the cash value too much, too often, too soon, which is a mistake I think a lot of people make. Yes. And so we were able to put those failures together in the story inside the book to help you, the listener, take advantage of our education that we went through.
And like the way when I was a corporate employee, I think I tried absolutely every investment strategy. When I was in Iraq, I was hoping I could find a way to bring dinar back because I believed the federal government would prop up the Iraqi dinar, right?
Yes.
I mean, I've done options trading. I've done, like, I'm a 10 quick start that will chase any squirrel. And so after all those failures and all those experiments, life insurance and real estate together, they're the way the wealthy people grow wealth. It's a strategy that is hiding in absolute plain sight. And no one's talking about it except us in this book.
And it's really, like you said, it's just right there for people, and it's traditional. It's been around forever. Real estate is one of the oldest forms of building wealth, and life insurance is one of the oldest forms of storing wealth. And those two things go together so well because life insurance has the liquidity, real estate has the cash flow. And so we wrote the book to pull those two things together and to help people understand the interplay between the two assets.
And it's kind of like the way we frame this out in the book a little bit, but it's kind of like the paleo diet, right? Like for 2,000 years, and you can make an argument that life insurance been around for 2,000 years. You can definitely make real estate's definitely been around for at least 2,000 years. But, you know, there was a certain way human beings ate, right?
Yes.
And then the industrial age came about, and then we started doing TV dinners and a bunch of preservatives and all of that. And everybody thought this was new and modern, right?
Keep
and
going.
Now everybody's going back to a high vegetable, low fruit, high, you know, high macro intake diet.
Yeah, the hunter-gatherer type.
Yeah. And so the same thing's kind of going back with investing. Everybody, if you look back through the history of the United States, the reason we are who we are, I'm going to make the argument, is because of our title law. And the way people used to store wealth back in the day is in life insurance policies and real estate. If you look at back at like some prominent entrepreneurs from the turn of the century, the 1900s, like Ray Kroc and Walt Disney, and I know Ray Kroc's not turn of the century, but there's several examples that all these entrepreneurs got their liquid cash to start their business from their life insurance policies. You know, as the industrial age grew and then it got super crazy with the creation of the 401k, I'm going to equate the 401k to the TV dinner.
There you go.
So it's kind of crappy. It doesn't taste well, but it makes you feel like you're eating, right?
And the long-term effects are detrimental. That's a perfect analogy.
I just came up with that right now.
That's great.
We should stop printing and add it.
No, let's not do that. This book's been way too long in coming. And I want to share too, because a lot of our podcast listeners will probably get the audio version of the book since they like to listen rather than read. It was so fun when you and I were recording the book, because without any planning ahead, because of course, quick starts don't plan ahead, you and I just fell into a natural rhythm of who read what part. Mm-hmm. It was so cool because you, most of the time, were reading your stories, but sometimes I did because it just made more sense from my perspective. And then most of the time I was reading my stories, but then occasionally you were jumping in. It just was great. I love the back and forth that just naturally came about.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And there's just some, you know, and I like that we both are like, because I understand truth concepts. I understand what you guys do, but I can't teach it, right? I can leverage it. I can use it. I use it every day in my own personal finances, but I get very uncomfortable when I'm asked to teach it.
I understand. It's something only after literally living, being married to Todd, attending a million truth trainings, et cetera, that I feel like I know inside, outside, backwards and forwards. And then, of course, as soon as I get there, Todd comes up with a new calculator and I'm back at kindergarten again.
Nice.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up here, you coined a new term around the area of income. And I want you to share that with our listeners, because I think passive income is a term that has come into play and it's kind of popular these days and it's so misleading. So tell us what a better word is.
I stole that from Keith J. Cunningham. I don't know. Have you read his book, The Road Less Stupid?
Love Keith.
Yeah, he's the man. So he coined this phrase. And I like when I started selling turnkey houses, right? And people were like, Jimmy, if I buy four houses from you, will I live on the beach soon? Like, I almost started having panic attacks. And I didn't enjoy the feeling of selling passive income, because I have 100 rentals myself. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not passive. And the other thing I've learned is like passive income comes after hyperactive active income. And so the way Keith lays it out is that it's not passive income. Like, no one's, you know, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates still has a role at Microsoft, right?
Absolutely.
So does Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway. So it's like the wealthiest people on earth aren't, you know, they're very wealthy, but they're not looking for strictly passive income. They're looking for leveraged income.
Right.
And so to my private lenders and to my turnkey buyers, what I am selling is leveraged income.
I love it. I just got a quote today from Juice Plus, which is a fruit and vegetable thing that I love to eat. And it says, you can't wish it to be true. You have to work it to be true. And that's what leveraged income implies. You have to work it to be true.
And it's like Keith J. Cunningham's, his analogy is a merry-go-round. Like, when your kids are on the merry-go-round, the first five or six pushes, you got to push hard, right?
Yep.
But eventually, all you got to do is put your finger against it and then twirl it. And then it's just not as hard to keep the machine running.
Great analogy as well. Super cool. All right. Well, this is Kim Butler and Jimmy Vreeland, the book Busting the Real Estate Investing Lies. And go grab it on Amazon. Leave us a review. You'll also have a link to the website and you can check out some additional information there. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the other side. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.